It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farad. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, Lake Superior contains 10% of the world's fresh surface water. We'll look at the Great Lakes as a resource and the future of Great Lakes restoration.
First, during his campaign, President-elect Donald Trump said that he supported, quote, extreme vetting of Muslims who enter the United States.
Earlier this week, an advisor connected to Trump's transition team outlined plans to reinstate a Bush-era immigration registry that could do exactly that, vet Muslims trying to enter the United States.
That registry, called the National Security Entry-Exit Registration System, or NSEERS, was created post 9/11 and required people from certain countries to be fingerprinted and interrogated before entering the United States.
Civil rights groups criticized the plan for unfairly targeting immigrants from Muslim nations. The plan was later dropped in favor of other immigration initiatives.
Terry Givens is with us now. She's a professor of political science and a provost at Menlo College in California. Terry, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be joining you.
Well, how might a Trump-era immigration registry borrow from the post 9/11 George W. Bush era?
Well, I think it would be very similar because after 9/11, the registry that was put, there was actually initially just a requirement for immigrants from certain countries, mainly Muslim countries, to register. And then NSEERS was added as a policy in order to specifically target immigrants from particular countries as well as people currently living in the country. So I believe this would be very similar to that in the sense that it would require registration, regular check-ins, requirements for change of address, things like that.
And what was the fate of that plan that's not in effect anymore? What happened?
Well, the problem is it found basically zero terrorists. When the stated goal of the policy was to basically try to ferret out any potential extremists or terrorists, and you don't have any results from that, then the critique was, well, we haven't found anybody through this, and it's a process that can be very onerous to immigrants coming in. And there were several cases where, for example, a refugee who was not required to register was put in deportation proceedings because he hadn't registered, but then later it was recognized that he wasn't required to register, so it was very stressful for that refugee. He lost his job and so on. And so there was a huge critique out there about the effectiveness of it and if it was really necessary given other aspects of policy that were already being implemented by Homeland Security.
Do we know which particular countries were targeted in that Bush-era registry and if the same countries might be involved this time around?
Well, they haven't specified this time around, and I don't know all of the entire list of countries off the top of my head, but I know for certain countries like Saudi Arabia, certainly now the focus is on Syria. There's a variety of basically Middle Eastern countries, but basically countries that had the language being used is countries where extremism exists. So we would expect that countries like Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria most definitely, and even Saudi Arabia potentially could be targets of this policy.
Chris Kobach from Kansas is reported to be a Trump advisor or even a possible cabinet pick, and he helped design and implement the Muslim registry after September 11th. What do we know about his possible involvement in a Trump-era policy?
Well, we know that he is definitely providing feedback to the Trump transition team. I've also seen reports that he'd been in communication with Trump advisors over the last few months, and he is seen as somebody who is potentially could be in a cabinet position, such as attorney general. Obviously, we don't have any final word on that, but it's clear that he's influencing policy and certainly has been very vocal in recent days about the possibilities of implementing this policy again, similar to what he had done in the Bush administration.
How likely do you think it is that a registry like this could be implemented, especially given that at the end of the day, even some Bush administration officials ended up being critical of it?
Given that it was one of Trump's, basically one of his campaign promises, my expectation is that it's very, very likely that it will be implemented.
Yesterday, a spokesman for a major super PAC backing Donald Trump defended the registry plan. And here's what he told Fox News' Megyn Kelly.
Perfectly honest, it is legal. They say it'll hold constitutional muster. I know the ACLU is going to challenge it, but I think it'll pass. And we've done it with Iran back a while ago. We did it during World War II with Japanese, which, you know, call it what you
Come
will,
on.
maybe
you're
wrong.
Not, you're not proposing we go back to the days of internment camps, I hope.
No. I'm not proposing that at all, Megan. But what I am
you know
saying
better
is
than
that
to suggest
we need to protect
America. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that gets people scared, Carl.
Right. But I'm just saying there is precedent for it, and I'm not saying I agree with it, but in this case, I absolutely believe that a regional
base... You can't be citing Japanese internment camps as precedent for anything the president-elect is going
to
do.
Look, the president needs to protect America first, and if that means having people that are not protected under our Constitution have some sort of registry so we can understand, until we can identify the true threat and where it's coming from, I support it.
That was Carl Higbee, a spokesperson for a Trump super PAC, looking back at internment camps of the Japanese Americans during World War II, saying, in effect, that there was precedent for this kind of registry. Looking forward, Megyn Kelly, obviously very critical of that. But what do you make of that kind of comparison, Terry?
Well, frankly, I'm appalled. It's really not appropriate in this context. And, you know, that was a very dark period of our history. And, you know, certainly it does not make sense in this context to be putting it into the discussion. And, you know, it's unfortunately a kind of, I think, hyperbole to connect the situation of, the security issue in a context of as if we're in war. And, the reality is terrorism is an issue and security is an issue. Yeah, I will grant that. However, we did not have any success in targeting Muslim terrorists through the NSEERS program. That is the bottom line. I do, as I said before, I do believe they'll implement it, but I'm appalled that they would even connect it to such a dark moment in our history.
We're talking with Terry Givens right now, political science professor at Menlo College in California, talking to us now about a possible return to registration and interrogation for Muslims entering the United States. And Terry, the American Civil Liberties Union has threatened to sue Trump, the Trump administration, over campaign promises like this that mm-hmm. it sees as unconstitutional. How likely is it that they could be successful in a suit like that?
Unfortunately, I've seen some comments from constitutional law professors out there saying that it's unlikely that the ACLU would prevail in declaring this policy unconstitutional. It's hard to say how a court would. And also, I believe it depends on how the policy is implemented. You know, right now we don't know the details of it. If it's exactly like NSEERS, I think there's a good chance that they might have a hard time getting it declared unconstitutional, at least according to what I'm seeing from constitutional law professors. But, if there are ways that it's being implemented that could be called out as unconstitutional, then that's still a possibility.
How do you think that a plan like this, if implemented, could affect the way the United States is seen and related to in Muslim countries and countries around the world?
I think it could be very damaging for our relationships with Muslim countries. We have a lot of the campaign rhetoric, obviously, has led to fear in Muslim communities. And unfortunately, we're even seeing some attacks on Muslims in the U.S. since the election. And I think that from a foreign policy perspective, that's something historically the U.S. has had to grapple with in terms of how we treat minorities, in this case, a religious minority. It goes against our country's, freedom of religion, our moral standing in the world. But just more specifically, we rely on immigrants from these countries who are actually very positive actors in our economy, and I think it could be damaging to some of our relationships in the world if we pursue this policy.
Terry, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
That was Terry Givens, political science professor at Menlo College in California. She was with us there talking about a possible return to a Muslim registry for people entering the United States.
Coming up, as the presidential administration prepares for a big transition, we'll look at a new report focusing on the future of the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Stay with us here on Central Time.